happy are they who hear the word, hold fast to it in an honest and good heart, and bring forth fruit with patience. Dear brothers and sisters of Jesus, he knew the truth, but nobody believed him, and that hurt. Ignaz Semmelweis was a doctor in the 1800s, and Ignaz Semmelweis, is he going to show you a picture of him? His majestic mustache? There we go. Ignaz Semmelweis was a doctor back in the 1800s, and he discovered this truth that recently transformed my life. The trouble is, when he told the truth to the other doctors, they rejected him, kicked him out of the hospital, called him crazy, and eventually drove him to suicide. What was the crazy truth that got Ignaz Semmelweis blackballed? He said that before a doctor delivers a baby, he should wash his hands. Seems like common sense to us today, but they didn't have the germ theory of illness back then. And in the 1800s, when 100 babies were born in Vienna, Austria, about 20 would die before they left the hospital from infections. And Semmelweis found that if you just wash your hands, only one out of 100 would die. They could save millions of babies. But at that time and in that culture, that truth was just hard to believe. So they rejected it, and it hurt him. It hurt. You ever feel like Ignaz Semmelweis when you're speaking about God's truth in a world that doesn't always like it? There's a lot of Bible teachings that everybody loves. That love your neighbor as yourself, Jesus said. We can all get on board with that one, right? I'm thinking of the more countercultural Bible truths, like what God teaches about marriage. I'm thinking of a grown-up son and his mother sitting at a table in the kitchen, both weeping, and the Bible is open before them because his marriage is falling apart, and he cannot believe what God says about marriage. The open Bible, Matthew chapter 19, mom says, "Haven't you read," Jesus replied, "that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, 'For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate.'" But at this time and in this culture, it's hard for him to believe God's truth straight from the mouth of Jesus, that marriage is for a man and a woman for life. And so he rejects it, and it hurts. I've seen that hurt on the face of a mother who's streaked with tears. Maybe it's your neighbor. Maybe it's your neighbor who does not believe that God would send anyone to hell. All religions lead to heaven. Even though Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." Maybe it's your roommate who just can't conceive of how God could create the world in 24-hour days, six 24-hour days, even though that's how the book of Genesis describes it. This sermon isn't about any of those controversial truths. We're not going to dig deep into any of those. It's instead about how we speak God's truth in a world that doesn't always like to hear it. There's a lot of Bible truths that people like to reject, and it always hurts. That's how Ezekiel felt. Ezekiel was God's prophet. He lived about 600 years before Jesus, and he lived through one of the most traumatic times in Jewish history. So God loved the Jewish people, still does, and he had given them a beautiful capital city, Jerusalem, and a temple where like everything was made of gold. It was magnificent. But they did not love God. They had spent a couple centuries chasing after false gods and rejecting the Lord. God sent them prophets to try to get their attention, like Ezekiel, to tell them, "Hey, listen to me, but they refused to listen. Maybe you've seen this happen in a family where when a little girl refuses to listen to her parents, maybe dad will take away one of her favorite toys for a time just to get her attention. That's what God did. He said, you know that beautiful capital city and that temple made of gold? I'm going to take that away for a little bit The army from the country of Babylon is on its way here. And when they get here, they're going to capture your people, deport them to the country of Babylon, and burn down the city, take all the gold from the temple. It's a hard truth to hear. And in that time, in that culture, they did not accept it. And Ezekiel's job was to tell them. Now, at first, only a few of those Israelites were taken to Babylon. And so there's a little community of people living in Babylon, and the temple is still in good shape, and the city is still standing. So these exiles are holding out hope. Well, maybe God will change his mind. Maybe God won't destroy the city. And Ezekiel's task was to tell them, no, God meant what he said. You can guess how that went over. It was about as popular as when a little girl has her favorite toy taken away. They rejected him. And in fact, God even said, don't even think like you're preaching to people. You live among scorpions. If I came to church and you were all scorpions today, I would not be as excited about preaching to you. It hurts when people reject your message. And people still do it today. But it's not time for a pity party. We are not the first Christians who have had to face rejection for standing up for the truth, right? The Israelites rejected Ezekiel because he had a hard truth for them. Even Jesus, when Jesus went to his hometown Nazareth, they rejected him. And he was amazed, the gospel said. He was amazed at their unbelief. Turns out what happened to Ezekiel is not that rare. The normal thing when Christians preach God's truth in a sinful world, the normal thing is rejection. So how are we going to deal with it? How do we deal with rejection? Suppose we could just stop telling people about God. We could just not witness about Jesus at all. Don't ever talk about your faith. But Jesus did say, you will be my witnesses. So that doesn't seem like a good idea to contradict Jesus so directly. We could only preach the parts that people want to hear, right? A lot of Christian churches do this. You just take the Bible and preach what people like in our culture at our time in this setting. And then just, if you find something that would offend somebody, just rip that page out and don't talk about it. Of course, that's the opposite of what God told Ezekiel to do, right? God told Ezekiel, say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. And whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are a rebellious people, they will know that a prophet has been among them. We don't get to pick what we say. We say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. And it's not our job to make them listen. The other thing we could do, you know, it hurts extra when people you love reject you. So we could just stop loving them. This is the temptation that I think from time to time we all fall into. We say, it hurts when people I care about don't listen to what God says. So if you don't believe God's word, forget you. You're the enemy. You're the bad guy if you don't believe the Bible. The trouble is that even if we would like to say forget you to save ourselves some heartache, God is still remembering them. And he's still sending you and me to be witnesses to them. If we say forget you to people who God remembers, then we're just as unfaithful as they are. Although that is the tack that Ignaz Semmelweis took, just side point, Ignaz Semmelweis, when the doctors rejected his hand washing thing, his compassion for saving babies turned into hatred for doctors. And so he started writing nasty letters and calling doctors, you know, vulgar names. And he had a mental breakdown. And he was committed to an insane asylum. And he died 14 days later. That's not what God wants for you. That's not what God wants for his messengers. But God has given us everything we need to speak the truth and face rejection without going mad. He told Ezekiel this, "Do not be afraid of what they say or be terrified by them, though they are a rebellious people." We don't have to be afraid of rejection. And whenever God says, don't be afraid, he always gives us a couple reasons why not. So here's a major reason, a major way for you not to be afraid of speaking God's truth. Remember where the truth comes from. God told Ezekiel, you must speak my words to them. Whose words? God's words, right? This hard message that the temple was going to get destroyed and the city was going to get burnt, that's a hard message to believe. But it comes from the God who loved them while they hated him. It comes from the God who has already delivered them from lots of superpowers in foreign affairs and promised to do the same thing from Babylon. The hard truth came from a God who stood by them through centuries of history and who loved them no matter what. It was hard to accept, but it was coming from a source that they could trust because he had proven his love for them. It's the same way today. What I believe about marriage is not popular with a lot of the world. Where did we get our teaching about marriage? You didn't make it up. I didn't give it to you. And it didn't come. This is so important. It didn't come from some curmudgeon in the clouds who's trying to steal the fun away from life. That's not your God. Our teachings about marriage and hell and sin and everything we teach come from a God who left paradise to experience our pain, who gave up everything in heaven to come and experience rejection and suffering and tears and heartache on this earth. Our Jesus can say and fully mean it, I've been there. I know what pain looks like. He took the very worst that this world has to offer when he died on the cross. And he did it so that you and I could experience the very best of what heaven has to offer. That God who loves you that much, he's the one who gives us all our teachings. I don't believe about what I believe about marriage or hell or sin. I don't believe that because it's logical. I don't believe it because it's popular. I believe it because it comes to me from my Jesus. And he's proven that he loves me and that he knows best. Remember where your truth comes from, and you'll be more than ready to stand up for it, even in the face of rejection. And then listen to that truth. God told Ezekiel this. He said, but you, son of man, listen to what I say to you. Do not rebel like that rebellious people. God says, if we're going to faithfully speak his word and his truth, we got to faithfully listen to his truth. But even more than listen, because you listen with your ear, right? God said this, open your mouth and eat what I give you. Then I looked and I saw a hand stretched out to me. In it was a scroll, which he unrolled before me. On both sides of it were written words of lament and mourning and woe. Bad news. And he said to me, son of man, eat what is before you. Eat this scroll, then go and speak to the people of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he gave me the scroll to eat. Then he said to me, son of man, eat this scroll I am giving you and fill your stomach with it. So I ate it and it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. We don't just listen to God's word, eat it. Right? If you listen to a lecture about an apple, you probably learn where it comes from and the color and the different, you know, growing regions or whatever. You can learn a lot about an apple from listening about it. But if you eat it, it becomes a part of you. When you eat God's word, it becomes a part of you too. This has always been a challenge for Christians to understand and wrap their head around this one. So I like to use an illustration from Denmark. So back in the 1800s, around the same time as Ignaz Semmelweis, actually, 1800s in Denmark, the state religion was Lutheran. So everybody was Lutheran. I don't know if they actually did this, but it's as if they took a stamp called Lutheran and put it on everybody's birth certificate, right? You're Lutheran because you're born in Denmark, which sounds kind of good, except that then people would just stop caring about what they actually believed. They'd say, well, I'm good with God because I'm Lutheran, so doesn't matter what I believe, doesn't matter what I do. And they could go on and on and on about like how long their roots were in the Lutheran church. And they could go on and on about, yeah, my dad was Lutheran and my grandfather and all this stuff, but they didn't believe what the Bible said. And that drove one Danish man crazy. His name was Soren Kierkegaard. And he's famous for being a philosopher from Denmark, but he was a Lutheran. And he believed what God said, and he was really frustrated that his countrymen didn't. So he spent his whole life doing what Ezekiel was doing for the Israelites, trying to get them to take God's word seriously, to believe what God said. He was trying to get him to eat this scroll, to eat God's word here. And this is what he said. He said, what good would it do me to be able to explain the meaning of Christianity if it had no deeper significance for me and my life? I certainly do not deny objective truth, right? God's teachings, but it must be taken up into my life. And that is what I now recognize as the most important thing. To eat this book, to eat this word of God means that we take the teachings of God and make them part of our life. They have deeper significance for us. So you don't just know that somewhere Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. You let loving your neighbor this week mess up your schedule. You don't just know that Jesus died to save the whole world. You know that Christ suffered on the cross for you to secure your spot in heaven, and you can smile even on the worst afternoons this week. That's taking God's truth and making it personal. That's eating God's message. This is all about to get very real for me. This eat God's word and remember where it comes from so that you can faithfully speak up for it. It's all about to get very real for me because in the 10 o'clock service right here, my new baby son, Soren, is going to be baptized. See, now this is the only thing you're going to remember from the whole sermon, isn't it? Picture of Soren. Oh, well. But when we do the baptism in like an hour, I'm going to make a promise. And everybody in church is going to say it with me. We're going to promise this. I promise to teach God's precious truths to him so that Soren might remain a child of God until death. I promise to teach God's precious truths to him. But there are some of those precious truths he's not going to like. I know because there's a sinful person in all of us who rejects some of God's teachings all the time. My job and your job is not to tell Soren that he's cute, although we can do that too. It's to tell him the truth. To tell him that he is a poor, miserable sinner who deserves only God's wrath and punishment, whether he likes it or not. Our job is to tell him God's truth. And it's going to help for us to remember where that truth comes from. It's going to be important for Rachel and I, my wife and I, to take God's truths and make them part of our lives so we can pass them down to our little boy. And when that happens, just like when Ezekiel ate that scroll and it was sweet in his mouth, it will be sweet in our lives. Because even the most difficult conversations are preparing Soren's heart to trust in Jesus, who loves him more than I ever could, who adopts him today, and who is saving a spot in heaven. Who is it in your life? Who needs to hear God's truth from you? You might get rejected. It might be hard. That's the normal way things go. But remember where your truth comes from. A God who has loved you and loved them more than you can imagine. And then make God's truth part of your life. Then make an appointment to speak with them this week and to share with them the true love of God in heaven. It will be sweet. Amen. Please stand. Hey, thank you so much for checking out some of the content from Mount Olive Church. If you liked what you saw today, we would love it if you would subscribe to our YouTube channel or over on Spotify, subscribe to get sermon podcasts weekly. Also, if you checked out our sermon today, go over to mountoliveappleton.com and sign the friendship register so we know that you were blessed by our work today. God's blessings to you.